Our reading this evening comes from the book of Judges, and we read from chapter 6. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them up into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the land of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "Lord, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hands of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth." As Gideon did so, with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abinazites. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. I'm sure all of us have a plan for our lives, and Gideon, who we're looking at tonight, certainly had a plan for his life. He was just an ordinary farmer. He was someone who didn't expect anything other than working from the land and doing what he could for his family. But he and his people were subjected to the terrible, terrible devastation of the Midianites and the Amorites who surrounded the nation of Israel. They were plunderers. They would come into communities and they would kill all the animals and they would take all the livelihoods of the farmers away. It was a time of devastation, a time of fear for the people of Israel, who could not stand because they didn't have the manpower or the army power to fight back. So they pleaded to the Lord, they prayed to the Lord that he would deliver them. Now we recognize that Gideon was someone who kept himself to himself. So much so that when the Midianites did attack, he used to hide in the winepress he had, and he got away with it most times. But he was ever aware of his inadequacy, of the fact that he was someone who he felt a sense of guilt because he was not the warrior that God perhaps expected him to be. And so there was, if you like, a sense of frustration within this man. He felt his inadequacy, he knew. The Lord was punishing the people of God because of their apostasy, because some of them had bowed down to the gods of Midian and Baal. For some 325 years of Israel's history, they were in that situation. And in the end, God heard the pleas of the people who were faithful to the call of God, that he would deliver them, that he would bring them back and protect them and keep them from the oppressors. Gideon was a farmer, and he emerges during this time as a judge of Israel. He is Israel's fifth judge. This was a time before the establishment of the monarchy, when Saul was the first appointed king of Israel. There was, if you like, a vacuum in the land. There was need for good leadership. And in this time, God did raise those who would be leaders, who would try to bring their people through, but it was failure again and again and again. But Gideon was called by God. And he comes to God and he says, what can I do? I'm not a warrior. I can't do anything in my own light. And God gives him a sense of encouragement. And he says to him that his presence would be with them. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And you notice where Gideon's from the reading in verse 11, he said, he's hiding. He's in a wine press. He is fearful. O valiant warrior, what does that mean? He must have felt a great sense of inadequacy. Had God got it wrong? But God hadn't got it wrong, and he never does get it wrong. And so he used Gideon to his glory. Go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? But God gave him the impetus, and God gave him the ability, and God strengthened him in the call that was upon him. I didn't have time to read of all chapter 7 following our reading from chapter 6, but here was a story about Gideon. Gideon in the end was managed to get some clans together. He had some 22,000 men in an army ready to attack the Midianites. And the Lord said, that's far too many. That's too far too many, Gideon. Go to the banks of the river, and when the soldiers bow down, those who lap and those who cup their water in their hands, those who lapped, he said, will be the ones that God has chosen. Just 300 left. Just 300. Lord, I've got 22,000. Listen to me, the Lord said. Listen to what I say to you. All you need is 300 men to conquer the Midianites. All they had were trumpets and empty jars with torches inside. That's all this army had. And what they did was attack the Midianite army in the middle of the night and destroy them. They were so fearful and afraid when they saw these lamps coming, when they heard the trumpets. God conquered over them. God had used Midian to bring triumph and victory. The one who felt so inadequate, the one who felt so out of sync in terms of his ability, because he went in the strength of the Lord, because he was obedient to the Lord, this simple farmer, this simple man of peace, was used mightily by God in order to bring a new situation of victory over the oppressors. And that's a word of encouragement, isn't it? For us all. Gideon felt inadequate. Do you feel inadequate sometimes? Oh, I feel I can't do this or I can't do that. We can do it in the strength of the Lord. William Carey, if you remember, I told this story often, who established the Baptist Missionary Society. He was told by the good Baptist of Northamptonshire, William Carey, if God is going to save the heathen, he can do it without you. You're only a cobbler. What did William Carey do? He went to India. He established the modern missionary movement that survives today in the work of BMS World Mission and other missions who followed, who have brought millions to the cross of Christ. A little cobbler from Northamptonshire. What of Mary Jones? A Bible. Cofio, Hanes Mary Jones? Dear little girl. Little girl who wanted a Bible more than anything. And she saved her money and she walked the 27 miles to Bala in order to get it from Thomas Charles. Thomas Charles was so moved, but he didn't have a Bible for her. But what he did was to give her his own Bible. So inspired was William that he went to London. The British and Foreign Bible Society was formed. Yeah. Bible I bawb o bobl y byd. Little girl from North Wales, walking all that length, used mightily by God. Today, the Bible is translated in so many languages. It is bringing inspiration and joy to millions of people. And what we've been doing on a Tuesday night with the Bible Society, with the Bible course, with the course on Romans, is a direct consequence of that little girl. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful what God can do? It is no secret. I'm not going to burst into song, but I feel like bursting into song. It is no secret what God can do. Of course it's not, because He is the one who can make all things new. Because God is the one who will see us through. The God we worship is a God who is gracious in every way. He will guide your paths. He will keep you safe. In the work of the church, we are grateful for people who give of their time and their talents for the work and the mission of the church, in this church and many other churches, who give of what they have for the sake of the Lord. Sometimes we feel, oh, I can't do this or I can't. Of course we can. Because when we offer ourselves at the altar of service, we are not alone in that. It is the God who will use us, our limited talents. He will use us to His glory. And that's why we must never feel inadequate or fearful or afraid. To make that step of faith. To make that step of faith and trust in a God. Gideon trusted in the Lord. He knew his failings. He knew his inadequacies. And yet he was confident that God could deal with him and enable him, because his confidence was in the Lord. Secondly, God's ways don't always make sense in terms of our worldly understanding. The amazing thing that we find in Scripture, and you just look at it, God doesn't use perfect people. No, there are no perfect people anyway, other than the minister of grieving. No, I'm only joking. But the reality is this: we are all imperfect, we are all inadequate, but you look through Scripture. You look through Scripture carefully. You go back and you see the way in which God used people who perhaps the world or the church or the religious community today would totally reject. What of Moses, a murderer? Jeremiah, who had doubts? David, the adulterer? Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor? Peter, the impulsive? Weak, fearful, and unqualified. God can use people. People like you and me who sometimes feel that we're inadequate. He can use us to His glory. Now at this point in the sermon, I'm going to show you a video which I used in a children's service many years ago. But when I was preparing this sermon, I thought, I don't often do show videos on a Sunday night. But just have a look at this and see what you think.
Think God can't use you? Think He only uses perfectly qualified people? Take a closer look. Moses was not a great speaker. Jonah ran from God. Jacob was a liar. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Jeremiah was depressed a lot. Solomon was rich in wisdom but poor in lifestyle. John the Baptist was just plain poor. Timothy was too young. Abraham was too old. Lazarus was dead. Sarah was barren. Naomi was a widow. Gideon and Thomas both doubted, and so did Sarah. Peter lacked self-control. James and John were self-righteous. Paul had a short fuse. Well, so did Peter and Moses. Actually, lots of people did. God's army isn't perfect. It never has been. It's the march of the unqualified. Get in line.
And that's the reality of our faith. And that's the hope and joy we can know as the people of God. Just think of Jesus calling the disciples. They were inadequate. They failed in so many ways. But He saw within them that great potential. God doesn't use perfect people because none of us are perfect. We all have failings. But God can use us when we commit our lives like Gideon, despite our failings and inadequacies, and He can make something of our lives. And Jesus said, when you give a cup of water in my name, you are doing my will. When you are helping someone along the way, when you are means of reconciliation between those who have had disputes or disruption, when you are there in the community showing the love of Jesus in a way that is just so simple yet shows kindness and compassion and love, what are you doing? He's turning your imperfections to his glory. You are doing his will. And that brings joy to the heart of God. It does. It brings joy to the heart of God because there are those who he has called and who has trusted in his redeeming love. Those who have come to the cross and been forgiven of their sins. And those who know and they believe. And when our lives are touched by grace, it is we who show grace to others. Because, dear friends, in this dark and even world, that's what is needed. The saints of the rank and file, people like you and me who seek to do his will and to share his love at every opportunity. God's ways, as Barclay said, don't make sense in the ways of the world, but his promise is our promise and his way is perfect. Imperfection is turned to glorifying his name. And the Lord says, my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. But when we discern his will, we can give him the glory. So, dear friends, we worship a God who calls us to service, a God who can use the inadequate. We look back and we see the way that it is worked out in the lives of so many biblically, but we can go on from there and seek of others who have given in the life of the church and the community, have used their imperfection and used their weaknesses to his glory. But the greatest declaration of all this, of course, is that God, in his mercy, has met with you and me in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Think of the coming of Jesus into the world. Did he come with the acclamation of trumpets? Did he appear on the Mount of Olives in all his glory to bring judgment upon the world? Did he do that? No. John, the Gospel of John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. We have seen his glory in weakness and in worldly inadequacy in sight of the world. A baby born in Bethlehem in lowliness and poverty. No room at the inn for those who came to bring their gifts to him. We see it in the life of Jesus. In humility and love he shared with others, welcoming those who were inadequate and making them into the children of God. We see it in the words of Paul, who looks upon the incarnation with wonder. He who once had been so far from God, he who had been the great arch persecutor of the church, he who had condemned the people of God and put Stephen to death because of his faith, he is him, and he was able to declare, we have beheld his glory, that he was obedient even to death upon the cross. The wonder of it all, the joy of it all, is that we see the fulfillment of everything we've shared tonight in the coming of Jesus into the world, who humbled himself. And he humbled himself and he came in lowliness and poverty to die upon the cross of shame for you and for me and to make us into the children of God. Enable us in the power of the Spirit to know that we are weak, but he is strong, to be sure that we are the saints of God and that he loves us with an undying love. And that love inspires us to do in his name that what we can to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Moses, Jeremiah, David, Paul, Peter, all the others. The march of the unqualified. We join the line, dear friends. Yet Christ has restored us and redeemed us and made us his own. And that's the joy of the gospel. People like you and me, lost and dying, far away from God, have been brought near. And have been ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. We have been saved to serve and to give what we can back to him. Even though we are weak, he is strong. And he will keep us and he will guide us and he will guard us and keep us until that day we shall see him face to face. 22,000 men the Lord provided for Gideon. And then he said to Gideon, don't need that many. All you need is 300. Go into battle, I will be with you. And he overcame and he conquered. And Gideon is remembered now as the greatest warrior among the judges of God, who brought that wonderful truth to realization that God can do wonders, wonders of grace to you and me. Diolch iddo, byth am cofio llwch y llawr. Yeah? Diolch iddo, byth am cofio llwch y llawr. He's taken us from the dust of the earth and he has made us into his saints. Dear friends, we are marching with the unqualified, but we are marching to glory. Amen.